This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello, D.
Hi, Daryl.
That might be the greatest promo we've ever run in the history of this radio station.
Yeah.
When you know, want to know about the quarterback competition?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell
it's
you.
Kevin. Yeah, no, I'm not telling you anything.
Hey,
that's fantastic.
First of all, I got to tell you, Jack's played a little bit of different music. That was great walk-up music for you. I got to tell you, if you were, I'd expect a hit out of you. If you're walking up to the plate right now, just so you know that okay. Walk-up music was awesome, by the way.
Might have to settle for a bunt single, but
that's,
okay.
No, hit by pitch. That's probably what would happen, Daryl. Let's be honest.
I'm not afraid to lean into one.
That's right. Because you
take one for the team.
That's how you are. All right, before we get into yesterday, I kind of want to dive back into an interview you did over the weekend with Chris Ronayne. What was your biggest takeaway from that about the stadium issue?
He's not faking it, and he's an immovable object.
Okay, what does that mean as far as getting
in other words, he really, really does not want this Brook Park thing to happen, and he is very firm in his convictions and his position on that.
And what happens if he loses?
He's not going to get invited to the groundbreaking.
That's about it.
He doesn't get a shovel to put in the ground.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for the Browns, but I don't know that I'd invite him, right?
No, why would you? It was interesting because we had the mayor of Brook Park on the next day.
I listened. Heard it. Nice job.
He was very, I don't think he is doing what's best for his constituents. That's what I think. Or his residents.
His city, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing his job.
Yeah, that's actually, isn't that amazing?
He's doing his
job. Yes.
I mean, it's not often an organization comes around and says, hey, we'd like to invest $2.2 billion in private dollars.
In your community.
Right.
Okay.
especially
twist my arm further, will you?
Go ahead.
Especially because there were a bunch of endorsements that came out this week or in the last week and a half. For the dome that are all like...
New one just came in from the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio. That just dropped today. I'll publish that letter
It was the building trades that put theirs out earlier this week. All these people are like...
Last week, yeah.
Now they're all behind the dome and they're all saying that. I just wonder, what was your feeling? Do you think Chris feels like he's winning or he's going to lose? That's at the end. I'm just being honest.
I think he feels like... I don't know if he feels like he's going to win,
right?
But I feel that he is very firm in opposing it. I'll say this. The one thing that shocked me in the hour-long conversation that I had with him was the fact that he said he's willing to spend what would essentially be probably twice the money to do the Burke Lakefront plan. In other words, spend $500 million on the existing stadium to limp this thing along until Burke became available in the mid-2030s, around 2035, 2036, right? And then you're talking a three-year-plus construction window out there, which does not include infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be willing to spend that because he feels that's good money to spend versus, you know, what it would be to do it now, and which is one of my chief arguments. You can get a dome now. Everybody's starting to build domes. It's an arms race around the NFL. This is where it's going. Whether you like it or you don't like it, that's the reality. And this is an opportunity for Cleveland to actually get out in front of something for a change instead of having to react to what everyone else is doing around the country and be last in line, and, you know, you've got Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Kansas City, Houston. Heck, they're talking about replacing their dome that opened in 2002 already because it needs so much work. You've got all these cities right now that are exploring putting up domes. The Jaguars, they're going to put a roof on top of their stadium. It's going to be a, SoFi Southeast, so to speak. It'll be open air, but there's going to be a roof on the thing. And so when you talk about private investment, it's the largest private investment currently in the NFL in a stadium, other than what the Washington Commanders are pledging toward their new RFK site stadium that's going to have a roof on it. The public money that's being asked for, which now has dropped from 1.2, now it's down to $1 billion because the county is not going to participate, and so the Browns have worked a way to make it work without the county. What the Browns are asking for is pretty much in line with what's getting asked for around the country when you're talking about public dollars and the construct that they've come up with. I still don't know if the Browns maths. We know what the folks in Columbus, the independent audit agencies, both for the governor and the state legislature, both of them have expressed concerns about the math. But the Browns believe that the bonds will pay for themselves with the complex. And if you can do that for the riverfront in downtown Cleveland, why can't you do that for the complex here? Because there's no guarantee that the riverfront's going to be just as successful to generate all that revenue. I don't know that there's enough people to buy $500,000 condos to live on the riverfront in Cleveland, yeah. Right? I don't know that. So I don't think that what the Browns have asked for is unreasonable. The fact that they're putting themselves on the line. Look, if the development flops, if the dome flops, guess what? The Browns have over $2 billion of their own skin in this game here, right? So, like, I think that's a part of the equation that people are missing. They're thinking that, the Browns are out here asking for a free ride, and that is not the case.
You know, Daryl, the one thing that's weird to me about this is that it seems like it's become personal, and it should be anything but personal.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Jeff, and I'm not going to lie to you. Those thoughts have crossed my mind. I just can't say that definitively. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't either, but it feels
those thoughts
funny.
Have crossed my mind.
Yeah, it feels weird to me.
Yeah, I
don't get it. OTAs?
If you can find 175 acres in downtown Cleveland, maybe the Browns will, entertain that.
Yeah.
The cost will go up because, you got to do more with the building than what they're going to have to do by putting it in the ground in Brook Park. But like, I looked at the post office. I went by there this week. And then when I was covering the Guardians game, I think it was Tuesday night, I went up to the upper deck and I looked toward the post office. I took a picture. I actually put it on my X account. And I'm like, yeah, you ain't fitting a dome in there. Like, it's a tight fit. You might get the building in there, but that's all you're getting in there. So
clear something up for me.
Yeah.
Chris Ronayne mentioned to you about Burke and in the 2030s. Has the city, has the county come up and given the Browns an option to build exactly what it is the Browns want to build, including all the extra development that they are planning to pay for on without public funds? Has an opportunity been presented to them to put all of that somewhere in the city of Cleveland? Because as far as I haven't heard of that. Except perhaps the airport in 10, 15 years.
If you ask them, they'll say yes. I've not seen anything put on, paper. Okay.
Yep.
I haven't seen anything legally binding there. They have proposed that, you could do the Brook Park style project there in Burke. But again, here's the issue. That's 15 years down the road. Okay.
Yeah.
And even longer, the world can change significantly between now and then, right?
Sure.
In a lot of respects, and including the cost, which I am guesstimating myself, that the cost of the dome itself will be double. So instead of $2.4 billion, it's going to be $4.8 billion.
I was going to guess double as well, Daryl.
That does not include the cost of the development, okay? That does not include the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure work that has to be done. Because, by the way, if you think getting to the Lakefront Stadium right now is a lot of fun, Yeah, try getting to that Burke site.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I think it's what, North Marginal Road? That's the only way you can get to that is that one single road off of 55th or off of East 9th Street. That's it. So have fun with that. Whereas you look at Brook Park and the argument is, oh, you can't get to it. Yeah, you can. There's two interstates, a state route, actually technically two state routes. Angle Road is actually a state route. A lot of people don't know that. That was done when Ford built that plant out there years and years and years ago. You know, the Browns would like, you know, there's this narrative out there that they're going to charge $160 to $170 to park. I've been told that's not true. There's this narrative out there that they don't want RTA connected to that complex because that's going to take money out of their pockets for charging for parking. I've been told that is blatantly false, that they do want an RTA connection to their complex.
Yeah, the mayor said that on during our interview with him too.
Yeah, so there's some stuff out there that, you know, folks fighting against this that they're saying, and the Browns are just basically saying, yeah, that's not true.
Let me throw one other idea. So when you did talk to Chris the other day, how much money did he say he did have to spend on the stadium itself?
He didn't give me a dollar figure.
But there is money. He has money from the county that he could spend in the stadium.
If it was built in downtown Cleveland, he would be willing to participate. I got him on the record to admit that. But because it's in Brook Park and because he feels that is a bad location and it should be for industrial support of the airport. Here's the funny thing. He did even say during the interview, you know, that he feels the Browns should keep the land out in Brook Park and put some hotels and some airports to support. And this is where I did make one fatal mistake in the interview, and I'll acknowledge this, that I didn't follow up on. I should have immediately said, well, you know, that's what the Browns are doing right now, right? That's exactly what they want to do. The only difference is there's going to be a dome stadium in the middle.
So here's an idea for Chris. I mean, if he really wants to get all these projects moving, I just kind of hit me while I'm sitting here. Why wouldn't they take that money then that he has allocated that he would like to use to rebuild that stadium for football, and instead of putting the soccer stadium across at the Gateway area, just retrofit the current stadium for soccer? They'd have more dates, and if it was successful, they could have more people down there than they do on the 15 dates that they have for football. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Why wouldn't you retrofit that for soccer? Because soccer has way more games than the NFL does, especially if you've got men's and women's soccer. You then put yourself in a position to maybe get an MLS team.
Would you like to know why?
Yeah, why?
It's cheaper to tear it down and build a new soccer stadium than it is to probably retrofit the existing stadium into a soccer stadium.
I don't know.
It's not big enough for a soccer field.
Well, they've already played international. I know, but
it's not big enough for a soccer field.
But they've done it before. Like, we've had the national team play here before.
It's not...
The grass itself, I understand that it's too small, that I've heard that before too.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to put the money into it, just retrofit it, make the field bigger, and do what they did in Chicago. Lop off the first five rows of the top of the stadium. They did that in Chicago and rebuilt Comiskey.
Yeah,
if you really wanted to take your money and put your money where your mouth is and retrofit it to a useful stadium where they could have more than 15 dates
okay,
a year.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
To build the soccer stadium south of Gateway, mm-hmm. I believe, and don't quote me on this figure, this is just off the top of my head, I think that the organization that's putting that project together, mm-hmm. I believe they said the cost was around $50 million, okay? A retrofit of the existing stadium probably starts at $100 million. Like
NFL.
No. I'm talking about to retrofit the existing stadium, to downsize it.
To repurpose it.
Well, the Browns have already said all that. All right, so why wouldn't you just do that? The Browns have already committed.
Because it's twice the money. It's stupid to spend twice the money on something. That's
why. But if you're going to build a stadium.
It's the whole reason, we just said.
Stop for a second and just listen.
I'm just telling you.
I'm not asking. I'm just saying, here's my point. If they've got money and they want to put it into a stadium and the county doesn't want to give it to the Browns, why wouldn't they put it into another athletic endeavor that they could put more, you know, have more dates in. And if they, if he's so hell-bent on having a stadium on the lakefront, you're right. The Browns, and you wrote this, that the Browns have committed to helping demolish that stadium, that they would still do it no matter how ugly this stuff is right now, and to put money back into a lakefront project. So tear the thing down, like you said. I watched them do this in Columbus twice. They put a stadium up on the state fairgrounds for professional soccer. Why doesn't the county commit to that then? That's my point. That's all I'm saying.
50 million, 10,000 seats.
That's no, it's more than 10,000. You can put more than 10,000 seats in a soccer stadium.
No, but that,
and that's, you could also use it for concerts if you wanted to, or whatever you want.
Andy, that's the scope of the project for the soccer stadium.
I understand, Daryl. But if they've got, if the county has money, why wouldn't they do it? I do want to get to another subject here, so we're going to run out of time.
I don't like it when 20, mommy 000. And daddy fight.
It's all right. That's why it's always game day in Cleveland. Listen, Daryl, what was your count on throws yesterday
for the four
quarterbacks that we saw?
I did not keep statistics.
What?
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you.
So, Daryl, I have the most important stat in front of me right here.
I did not care that much to keep stats because you want to know why?
Why, Daryl?
Those numbers don't matter.
That's right, Daryl.
Daryl, let me give you the numbers that do matter. I have them. I wrote them down yesterday. They were important. When Kevin Stefanski did his press conference yesterday, let me make sure I got this right. He said, I don't want to mess this up. Where'd my numbers go? He did not mention either one of the rookie quarterbacks. He mentioned Kenny three times and Joe once.
Okay.
Just saying. What does that tell us?
Nothing. I'm trying to think if we asked about... He was asked about Shador. I think he was asked two questions about Shador.
Didn't say his name.
You're really, really digging deep on that one, Baskin.
Well, what I'm saying is it sounds to me like the veterans are his focus and the rookies are what they are, rookies.
Well, he did have them split up for some 7-on-7, 11-on-11. He had Pickett and Flacco on one field, and then he had Gabriel and Sanders on the other field, and he did that so that he could get them the reps that they need. I asked him, are you grading on a little bit of a different scale because you're not putting the starters over with the rookies, you're putting them with the vets? And he said, no, you're still grading on all the metrics that we grade the quarterbacks on. So I'll give Kevin credit in what is, in my view, a challenging situation to try and run a four-man quarterback competition right now. I think he came up with a fairly reasonable solution to this, and I have a feeling that this is what we're going to be seeing going forward and maybe even into training camp, where he's going to split those guys up and run sessions on multiple fields so that he can get guys as many reps as possible, as opposed to we're just sitting there, you know, watching one drill on one field, and you know, then you're very limited in how you can split those.
I threw this out and got about 30 seconds. I hope somebody beats out Joe Flacco because it means that you might have a quarterback who could be here long term. Can one of these guys beat out Joe, or do you think Joe's the front runner?
I think it's too early.
Okay.
In my views, looking at it from the Browns' perspective, I would venture a guess that they would think that Kenny Pickett is their front runner, right? And Joe Flacco is their backup plan if Pickett doesn't work out. Because I can't imagine they're sitting there saying, we want to start Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders in week one.
I would agree with you. Yep, I would agree.
All right, Daryl, we have run out of time. Tomorrow you can have my chair and you can talk to Jeff. How's that sound?
You and me tomorrow, D.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. The days blend together.
Well, I'm glad we reminded you because I didn't want to go solo. Thanks.
Goodbye, Daryl.
I guess I'll see you tomorrow, Jeff.
I can't wait.
Peace. See you later.
See you, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.